Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, the story of triumph and tragedy at Morris Brown College. Joining me are Andrew Feiler, photographer and author, as well as Dr. Stanley Pritchett, president of Morris Brown College. The reason, the excuse for doing a story about a very important institution in this town is Andrew's new book, which is called Without Regard to Sex, Race, or Color, The Past, Present, and Future of One Historically Black College, which is a book of photographs of a Morris Brown College not looking too good, I guess would be a way to describe it. But before we get to the photographs, before we get to the journey of Morris Brown, Dr. Pritchett, I want to start with talking about Morris Brown's origins, its incredible history, and the role that it played in the world of the HBCUs. Tell me about Morris Brown. And well, I should say you are the president of Morris Brown College.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate you having us on, and I'd like to share with you a very rich history of an institution. Morris Brown College was founded in 1881. It was unlike a number of other institutions that were founded after the Civil War. Many of the institutions that were started by philanthropists from the North, and the foundation.
Like Spelman, was started by a Rockefeller.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Their various families that had a lot of legacy started institutions for supporting African Americans who did not have a formal education. The interesting thing or unique thing about Morris Brown, it was founded by African Americans. It was founded by lay persons and those that were in ministerial positions at one of the churches in Atlanta. And the interesting thing about it, as the story goes, Clark College, it was called Clark University at that time, was one of those institutions that were founded by the United Methodist Church. And in an effort to get support for the Clark University, they asked for the members and the pastor of Big Bethel AME Church about donating furniture for one of their classrooms. And from that, the genesis of Morris Brown College was, why donate furniture? We can start our own. And that started the rich legacy of an institution that, as I indicated, founded in 1881 and had its first graduating class in the late 1890s. Started out with 100 students, mostly initially for trying to educate, not only educate African Americans from the standpoint of getting a formal education, but also for educating the ministers, the pastors at that time. A lot of them were pastors of small churches that did not have any formal education. So this was a way for reaching out to them. And then, of course, in the early 1900s and on through several decades, the college continued to grow. And in fact, in the early part of the century, in the early 1900s, it was actually Morris Brown University. They offered not only a bachelor's degree, but also doctorate degrees as well. And in the 30s and 40s and 50s, it began to grow exponentially with a number of other institutions, historical black colleges and universities, but always had a great program at Morris Brown College, known for a number of areas of students that attended Morris Brown College. At one time, it produced more teachers than any other historical black college in the South with respect to producing teachers. And then, of course, a number of outstanding graduates in the areas of science, becoming doctors and lawyers. A renowned chemist that came out of Morris Brown College is Hosea Williams.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so it has had a stellar history over the years. And, of course, then in the 60s and 70s and 80s, known for producing a high concentration of certified public accountants that graduated in the business program in Morris Brown College. So I could just go on and on and on, not only from the standpoint of the athletic programs, the band programs, and And then many of the hundreds of graduates that graduated from the institutions in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And, of course, the enrollment grew as well. Enrollment grew to close to 2,500 in the mid-90s. And with that growth, it began to experience some problems. And, of course, it led to some challenges at the end of the decade of the 90s and lost its accreditation in the early 2000s. And not because of any of its programs, its academic programs, but it was because of some financial issues and, of course, leadership with that led to the school losing its accreditation. So in 2003, in the spring of 2003, the college actually had to shorten their semester in the spring of 2003 because they were voted to lose their accreditation in December of 2002. And to make certain that the students were graduating from an accredited institution in the spring, they shortened the semester while the appeal, and in losing the appeal, they went from 2,500 students in the spring of 2003 to less than 100 in the fall of 2003. And so from that point, that's where the challenges and struggles that the college had to experience for the next 10 or 15 years. And of course, now we talk about where we are now and the fact that we've been able to stay open and not lose the institution, to stay open for a number of reasons. But in staying open, we've been able to revitalize and begin this renaissance. And a part of this project with Andrew was to be clear about where we are and to show us at our weakest point. But at the same time, show the future and the vision for what can be done to rise like a phoenix, somewhat like the city of Atlanta after the Civil War. So we are looking forward to a lot of great things as we move forward, and certainly by this book sharing the sad part of it, but at the same time knowing that there is a not because of this rich legacy, we can have a bright future based on the challenges that we've had to overcome.
I prefaced this whole thing by talking, you know, about the story of Morris Brown going from triumph to tragedy, and you're a part of the plan to get it back to triumph. I just want to say for listeners who really aren't familiar with the extraordinary role that HBCUs have played in educating people of African descent in the history of this country. One way you might be a little bit familiar with the story of Morris Brown, for better or worse, is the movie Drumline, which of course is a celebration of a better time at Morris Brown. Let me turn to Andrew. Andrew, how long have you been in Atlanta?
21 years.
But
I am a fifth generation Georgian.
Fifth generation Georgian. So what I want to know is what. When did you become interested in Morris Brown, and what attracted you to wander the halls with your camera, and why did you want to do this book?
So I am a fifth generation Georgian. I grew up Jewish in Savannah, and my voice as a photographer is a Southern voice. There are history and culture and geography and race and injustice and progress. These are Southern themes, and these are themes that I'm interested in as a photographer. And when I heard that Morris Brown had filed for bankruptcy, which it did in 2012 as part of Dr. Pritchett's plan to move the college forward, I thought, this is a hugely important story. It has race. It has religion because of the role the AME Church had played in the founding of Morris Brown College. It has social justice. It has economic opportunity. It has class.
And it has some good pictures.
At the time, I actually didn't know what the photo narrative would be, and that's something that unfolds over time. In fact, I met with Dr. Pritchett early in the process, and he said, well, where does this go? And I said, I don't know. If I get two images, it goes nowhere. If I get 20 images, maybe there's a there. And so the process of walking these halls and being in these buildings, I was on campus every 2 or 3 weeks for a year shooting this work. But it's the photo narrative that accompanies the historical narrative is something that unfolds over time. But I didn't know where the story would go, but it was a story I wanted to explore.
Let me just describe some of the photographs, and hopefully we'll be able to put some of them on the website. You know, the photographs show the extraordinary rich academic history. You see the old chemistry labs. You see the psychology signs. You know, you get that sense of the brains that were touched in these photographs, and yet you see the decay. You see, you know, what happens to historic buildings when there's no money to maintain them. And you see both the promise that was there and yet what happens when things go wrong. And Dr. Pritchard, what went wrong was, you know, was you had bad leadership and somebody ripped off a lot of money. And that was really the nail in the coffin, correct?
Well, somewhat. And, you know, there are stories about what that, you know, persons have indicated that were in leadership at that time that it was more of not necessarily personally getting any benefit from it, but also trying to help an institution that did not have the resources. And, of course, there were some legal issues and people were indicted and people, somewhat paid for the crimes based on the indictments that came down from the federal district court. But the fact remains, you know, here's an institution that had to go from 2,500 students to 100 students. They had to go with students walking out of the building. And you indicated some of the images. And these are some of the images I saw when I came into Morris Brown College in 2006 as a consultant, became president in 2010. Was the interesting thing about it is you walk in some of the buildings and you could see the grade reports from the spring of 2003. You would see some classrooms, you know, 10 years later, after the school lost its accreditation, that some of the classroom, the desks were in the arranged the way that we'd be looking for students to come into the class even today. Whereas you could see also, you could see a lot of, destruction from vandalism, from just being in a building being unoccupied for 10 years. And that's the challenge you run into. And that's some of the things that someone would say to me, well, why would you want to show the school in this light? Well, you know, sometimes in order to make progress, people got to see it the way it is and kind of understand what this college meant for so many for over 100 years. So now that we're showing ourselves this way, we're not trying to hide anything. We're transparent about where we are. But hopefully it will inspire someone to know that you have been able to graduate thousands of students. Why can't you do it now, you know, in 2016, 2017? And the only way we can do that is to get support of people understanding the rich history, understanding what we've had to go through, the challenges, and now being able to rise like a phoenix and be able to move forward and show that there is a bright future and vision for this institution.
Tomorrow on Conversations with David Lewis, we'll continue my conversation about Morris Brown with its president, Dr. Stanley Pritchard, and photographer, author, Andrew Feiler.